for the record. I'm Rob Schaff from the 34th Senatorial District. And today I am presenting to you Senate Bill 146. Senator Sater has Senate Bill 233. Last year, Senator Engler carried the bill that Senator Sater has this year. And on the floor, I ended up filibustering that bill. And as I don't know if some of you members remember, we did it on a Thursday. It went for like around 9 hours. When I started that filibuster, the first thing that I said was that I would agree to sit down if we could put that bill to a vote of the people. Ultimately, the Senate did perfect the version that went to a vote of the people. And so, true to my word, I've negotiated with this Missouri Police Chiefs Association, and I've introduced Senate Bill 146 that does go to the vote of the people. It's very similar to the version that we passed out of the Senate, or actually perfected in the Senate. When that bill was perfected, we never brought it up for third read because the leadership said, well, it will never pass. I trust that the people of Missouri would not pass the bill. I have to be honest with you, I'm opposed to the idea of the prescription drug monitoring program, but I have agreed to carry the bill, given that it goes to a vote of the people, and that the provision in the bill that's, it's actually in Senator Sater's bill, that nothing will be construed to require a pharmacist or prescriber to obtain information about a patient from the database. My feeling is that if you're going to have a database, you ought to have the physician use it. This is a severe limitation on our freedoms, and my feeling is that if we're going to give up that right to privacy, it ought to go to a vote of the people. I have provided with you some handouts. The first one I'd like to draw to your attention is an article of an incident that happened in Utah, where a Utah police officer went to the home of a couple, having gotten the information from the database that this couple had medication. He came in with his badge, uniform, and tells them that there's a pill count, and while they're talking and distracted, he's grabbing pills and putting them in his pocket. The quote on the second page that I draw your attention to is, quote, "To get a password, from what we've been able to ascertain, is not very difficult," Walker said. "And once you have that password, you're able to log onto the system and you can look at anyone. This database will be accessible by 20,000 people in Missouri, every doctor's office, of which there's 13,000 doctors, every emergency room, every pharmacy." The second thing I'd like you to look at, it provided to you, is an email to me from Dr. Hughes Helm, who's in Kentucky. Dr. Helm contacted me, and he said in his email, I'll just throw out a couple quotes. You'll want to read the entire one. He said, "Many patients have been turned away from their longtime primary care physicians from whom they had received treatment for their chronic pain problems. Now they are forced to go to specialists and pain clinics at much greater cost, often involving much longer travel." He says, "Patients here used to get chronic pain routinely from their family physicians, but now they often must go to multiple specialists and suffer long waits and high expense. It has severely hurt the ability of the average law-abiding patient to receive timely and good treatment. Please don't allow the citizens of Missouri to have this happen to them. But I promise you that if prescription drug monitoring becomes the law in Missouri, it will. It has happened here." And finally, here's an article from about Virginia. It said, "Hackers break into Virginia Health Professions database, demand ransom. Hackers last week broke into a Virginia state website used by pharmacists to track prescription drug abuse. They deleted records on more than 8 million patients and replaced the site's homepage with a ransom note demanding $10 million for the return of the records, according to a post on WikiLeaks.org. And finally, I have a letter from the Locke and Smith Foundation questioning the constitutionality of this. So if it is the wisdom of the committee to pass a bill out, I would hope it would be my version of the bill that would go to a vote of the people and would require physicians to actually use the database.
Senator Sater, let's hear your first.
thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Senator David Sater from Southwest Missouri, and I bring to you Senate Bill 233. I am a pharmacist, as you all know, and I've seen firsthand in why I'm practicing pharmacy of prescription drug abuse. It is one of the fastest growing problems in the United States and also right here in Missouri. The number of overdose deaths in the United States is now greater than those of heroin and cocaine combined. So it is a very important problem. 11% of teens in Missouri have been noted to use prescription drugs for recreational use, compared to 3% of throughout the other states. And one of the reasons is that we're the only state left in the United States that doesn't have a prescription drug monitoring program. And all the 8 states around us have a program that's in use. And so people are coming to Missouri because of that. You know, my Senate Bill 233 will provide healthcare professionals with a very powerful tool in reducing abuse, addiction, and diversion of opiate painkillers and prescription drugs. The main reason is this is, you know, legitimate people that are going to a physician for chronic pain relief. This will not affect them at all. This is for doctor shoppers. This is for patients that go to multiple prescribers and go to multiple pharmacies. And this is where the prescription drug monitoring program will intervene and help these patients and keep the drug diversion at bay. You know, we spend millions of dollars in emergency room visits and treating substance abuse in the state of Missouri. It's a major expense. So this type of monitoring system will allow healthcare professionals to intervene in the early stages of prescription drug abuse. And we will also, since we're the last state in the union to have a program like this, we're taking the best information of the other programs from the other 49 states and having the best system. I want to note that in the counties of Buchanan and Platt, there were 62 deaths in a 4-year period from prescription drug abuse. And there's over 4,000 drug-related hospital and ER visits in that area. In Iowa, when they started their prescription drug monitoring program in 2011, it went down 72% decreased as far as Schedule 2, 3, and 4 drug abuse. So we do need this program. This program is, from my experience as a pharmacist, I have seen that especially, you know, we already adjudicate prescriptions to third parties, whether it's an insurance part or else Medicaid. But about 20% of the prescriptions are cash. And I've had on multiple occasions a person with either an insurance card or a Medicaid card come in and get a prescription, and it'd be way too early, and they would ask for a copy of that prescription. And so by law, I have to give them a copy of the prescription. They take it to a neighboring pharmacy and fill it for cash. And so this goes on time and time again, and I've seen it firsthand. And so that's why I'm encouraging this body to look at this program, because it does work. It does not invade privacy. It only red flags those doctor shoppers. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions of the two presenters? Senator Silvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the question is more for Dr. Schaaf, because it's an interesting situation. I don't think I've ever been on a committee where a sponsor has testified against his own bill while presenting it.
I want to make it clear, I'm not actually testifying against my own bill. I'm testifying against the concept of having a PDMP and telling you that this has severe problems, then it should go to a vote of the people. If it's the will of the committee to pass a bill out, let it be mine. I do want to point out that Missouri is not the only state that doesn't have a PDMP. We're the only state that hasn't passed legislation. Other states haven't been able to fund it, some others. It's also be easy to get around this. All you have to do is present a fake ID.
So I guess my question is, Senator Sater laid out a pretty compelling case of the problems that we face.
I freely admit that it's a problem, and
so I guess my question is, what's your solution?
Well, the solution is to solve the problem such as the one that Senator Sater had. The rule that you have to give somebody a copy of a controlled substance prescription and then take it to another pharmacy.
But isn't the prescription ultimately theirs?
Well,
it's not the pharmacist's prescription.
Well,
it's the individual's prescription. So you would rather restrict the individual's right to their own prescription than to have them entered into a database?
No, absolutely not. The physician gave them a prescription, and they have the freedom to go in and get it. So, and his example was that the prescription was too early to refill. So they take that and they go and they get it at some other pharmacy. It would be no problem at all to restrict that. They've already gotten the script filled for the period of time that they need it. You know, I've also talked to pharmacists who are opposed to this bill. But, you know, Benjamin Franklin said it best. He said he would give up a little liberty for some security deserves neither. And, you know, like take, for example, my mother. She does not need to have her private information on a government database. She's not a doctor shopper. Let's go after the doctor shoppers and not infringe upon the liberty of the 99.9% of law-abiding citizens.
Well, how do we discover who the doctor shoppers are?
You know, there are ways.
We can't go after them.
You know,
if we don't know who they are.
I can kind of tell when patients come to see me who the problem ones are. One thing that I can do is I can.
But if you're not allowed to record the information and pass it on to others, what good does it do?
I'm sorry, I'm not following your.
Okay, well, you said you can tell when someone comes to you that they who the problem person is, but under your philosophical presentation here, you wouldn't be able to write that down and share that information with anybody. So what good does it do if you personally know?
Why would I not be able to? I can.
Well, that would be a database in its most rudimentary form.
No, I mean, I can make the decision on whether or not I want to prescribe the medication. You know, I can talk.
Right, but the essence of a doctor shopper or a prescription shopper in this instance is when you deny them, they go find someone who won't.
Well, somebody has to be breaking the law.
So how does that solve the problem?
Well, some problems are beyond solution, and some problems are not so severe.
So some problems are just too big. We should just go home.
No, I'm not saying that. Let's identify the true problem and fix it. You know, if the problem is that pharmacists by law have to give somebody a prescription, which they then go and pay cash for, let's stop that requirement. You know, let's stop it. Which would you rather do? Have your daughter's and your mother's data on a database that's acceptable by 20,000 people, or make it so that the person who gets the script can't have a copy of it, but rather that they have to go to the doctor and get a new script?
I guess I would rather my daughter or family member be in a position to where if they had a problem, it would be easy to discern that they had a problem and get them the help that they need.
And you and I will disagree on that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Holt.
Thank you. Senator Sater, let's go back to the privacy issue real quick.
Sure.
Who can look at this database? Who has access to the information?
Well, the database would be housed in the Department of Health and Senior Services.
Okay.
And within the Department of Health and Senior Services is the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs. And also within that is the Board of Pharmacy and the Board of Healing Arts. And they would have, if there's not going to be like there's some little guy in a dark room looking at every prescription that comes through. Mm-hmm. It's a computerized system that just red flags multiple doctor shoppers and also when they go to multiple pharmacies. And so that's when the red flags come up.
What about confidentiality of the information in terms of, what do you have high-profile individuals in the business community or in our business? you know, you're a pharmacist, if you had an opponent in a primary and there was, you know, you had access to see what their personal medical use was, you could say, well, are they unhealthy or unfit for office because of this, that, or a celebrity or anybody whose medical information could be used in a way that would either benefit somebody else or harm them in the course of their business. Is there any confidentiality agreements that would protect that person from that information being used against them?
Yes, I think we'll need to have the Department of Health explain actually the actual procedure that goes into this program. But we are taking the best of the other 49 states that have developed a program and to ensure privacy of the of law-abiding citizens. And it's not like just anybody can get on this database and find out if David Sater was taking Vicodin or something like that. This is just for the doctor shoppers. But I assure you that it will be kept quite confidential and there will be no leakage of information.
Because I see both sides. I mean, obviously I see your side that you want to address the problem and this does do that. But I see Dr. Schaaf's side in that, you know, our data is our individual sovereignty is connected to the information that we have as citizens of the state. And I'm concerned any time that data becomes public simply for the reasons that I indicated
and I wish
before.
You know, I wish this wasn't a problem. I wish we didn't even have to present this bill. Mm-hmm. Back when I first started into pharmacy, drug abuse was just hardly anything, you know. Mm-hmm. But now it is, unfortunately. And we have deaths that's costing the state a lot of money in emergency room visits, but of course for the health of our citizens, we want to intervene as early as we can.
Thank you,
Senator Schmidt.
I do find it interesting that doctor shopping and doctor shopping are so closely. I have to keep it straight when I hear it. A question for you, Senator Sater. And for you too, Dr. or Senator, what information right now? When I go to Walgreens, mm-hmm. And I get a prescription filled, I mean, I gotta believe that a lot of this information is that I know that a lot of particularly the pharmacy benefit management
right.
plan. I mean, they're looking at a lot of data as they try to get better outcomes and utilization, right? I mean, so there's a lot of information I know that's being analyzed right now. What is it that in your experience is electronically available right now? I mean,
right now, you know, we all have our prescription drug. You have one, and I have one also. And if we go to a pharmacy and get an antibiotic filled, the pharmacist adjudicates that prescription. The adjudication process determines whether or not the patient is eligible or not, whether the drug is covered, and the data of that patient goes to the PBM.
Right.
And so that data is out there, whether it's a narcotic prescription or whatever it might be. So we're already doing this. And if you went to two different doctors right now and got the same pain medication and went to two different pharmacies, you would be denied in the adjudication process at the second pharmacy because it would note it's real time. It would note that, and so we're just setting up another central database through the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs and Department of Health for cash transactions and things like this. Cash transactions are not being adjudicated, and so, but they will be now. I hope I explained it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then according to the federal law, which has the initials GASPER, G-S-P-E-R, the database has to be searchable by multiple fields, name, date, prescriber, drug, and so on, so that basically every physician's office in Missouri would have the password to them, and the physician, like if you came in to see me, I would go onto the computer, type in my password, and I'd have access to the full database. And I would type in, say, David Sater, and up would come every drug that was a controlled substance that had been prescribed to him. Now, they could also type in Rob Schaaf and see every controlled substance that I had prescribed. Now, I can tell you that physicians aren't going to be the ones doing this. They're going to delegate it to the nurse. And I want you to imagine 10,000 doctor's offices and the way they're set up and where the screens are and how easy it would be for nurses to take the password, type it on, and look up their friends or whatever. Remember what happened to Tom Eagleton when they found out that he had actually, oh my gosh, seen a psychiatrist. He was denied the ability to serve as the Vice President of the United States. Look at what happened to Rush Limbaugh, even though he was breaking the law. These were examples of the escape of information from the confidentiality. I'm sorry, but this example proves that no data is secure. Look at WikiLeaks and all of the very confidential state data that's been made available. So I just wanted to give you a little bit more information.
Okay, thanks.
Senator Sefton.
Thank you. Senators, one of the differences in your bills, I think Senator Sater's bill includes Schedule 4. Senator Schaaf's omits it. Could you just walk me through the real-world implications of that difference?
Sure. Schedule 2 drugs are mainly the opiates like morphine, Demerol, and highly abused medications. Schedule 3s are less addictive, the hydrocodones, some of those types of drugs. And then you get down to Schedule 4s, you get to sedatives, some muscle relaxants and things like that. The reason they're on those schedules is because they all have addiction problems. They all have abuse problems. It's just a matter of the severity of each category.
I've already agreed to adjust up my bill to be more in line with those. Instead of having a 90-day restriction, I've agreed to make it longer than that. So really, the differences between our bills are really, number one, the requirement that physicians must use the database and that it goes to a vote of the people because, hey, if we're going to take away the right to privacy, let the people vote on it.
Thank you.
Senator Cunningham.
Senator Sater, you mentioned the insurance companies being able to track that, see mm-hmm. what you know about your competition here. Can I get a prescription here at Walmart and then go to California and get that prescription or Walgreens or whatever? Is that a nationwide data bank?
No, it's just a state of Missouri.
State of Missouri only.
Yeah.
Okay, but those people do have that same thing. So we have clerks at Walmart or Walgreens or Walmart that could look it up, just like Dr. Schaaf said. The nurses.
Yeah. Now, if you were trying to use your insurance card at a Walgreens in say the state of California, you know they have that database is there already, and so if you try to get this is a hypothetical situation, but if you got a prescription filled in Rogersville, and then you flew to California and tried to get the same prescription filled in California at a pharmacy, because it's adjudicated to the insurance company, it would stop you from doing that right now.
Right, but someone could, if they hacked into Walgreens, Walmart's database,
yes.
they could track the
they
same.
Could, they could do
that
the same
information
thing.
Is actually available to them, but not really to.
That's right.
To the state officials.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Nieves.
Is either one of you kind of goes along with what Senator Holzman was saying. I was just in my mind, I was just trying to figure out the actual process of this whole thing. And I think it was you, Senator Schaaf, that said something about, you know, the practical application of these passwords would be that it wouldn't just be the physician his or herself that would have this password, but also members of their staff, whether it was nurses or office aides, and I hadn't thought of that before, because you know just thinking of people that are in high profile positions, whether it's a athlete or a politician or whatever, you know, I would have to think that there's people mining for information about these people. And so if we walk me through a doctor's office. Just walk me through how a doctor's office would do this. A doctor's office that has maybe two physicians, five or six nurses, two or three office staff. I mean, how does that happen?
Well, the patient comes in, and you come to me, and you're wanting a prescription for some pain medicine. Well, according to Dr. Sater's bill, I don't even need to. I'm Senator Sater's bill. I don't even need to look at the database to see if you've gotten it from other physicians. Under my bill, I would expect you to do that. So you would need to have that database checked. Would you delegate that to a nurse? I just have to tell you that I believe that most physicians would. They would have the nurse have the password, say, would you please go and look up and see, you know, what other medications this person's had. And or even if I did it, it would take a lot more time. Let's just say that I go out and I pull it up on my computer. Not all physicians have a computer in the exam room. So it's on the computer. People are walking by. The layout of offices are different everywhere. Screens are visible. You know, here's somebody's data. You know, and in a small town, you come in and your name is on the screen. Who knows your relationship to the office staff who's walked back by and look at that. Every emergency room would have access to the data. You can't believe that every emergency room physician would look at the screen right in the exam room of the emergency room, you know, examination room. They're going to go to the central hub and they're going to pull it up, or they're going to have some staff member do it. And there's so many opportunities for this data to be seen by other people. It's incredible.
I think that since the Department of Health and Senior Services is developing this database program, I think they should be the ones to answer in detail as to how it works.
Any other questions of the presenters?
Senator Shelby. May I, again,
yes,
briefly?
All right. Absolutely.
So oftentimes we struggle up here with issues where political philosophy meets practical reality. And I think this is one of those times, because I certainly understand your concern, Senator Schaaf, about data and security of data and information about me. But I guess I'm just trying to really boil down, why do we have prescriptions in the first place? I mean, they are by definition in our law a controlled substance. We control them via statute. We decide, there was even a discrepancy between your two bills, which schedule should be included or not included. So I guess first, should we control them at all?
Okay. You know, that's a libertarian question that, you know, you can argue about for hours. I don't know the answer. I do know that there is a problem. People break the law and they hurt themselves by breaking the law. Should I give up my freedom of having my private information remain private in order to stop somebody else from breaking the law? Let me give you two things to think about. Way more people die of guns than die of overdoses. Should we create a database of all of our guns? Way more people.
Well, I would argue that guns are specifically mentioned in the Constitution, yep, and OxyContin's not.
Well, that's fine. The other thing is, way more people die of speed, being killed on the roads. This would be the equivalent.
But yet we regulate it.
This would be the equivalent of having a speed camera every mile of the interstate to prevent you from speeding. It would be the equivalent.
So the second part of my questions, apart from the philosophy of a controlled substance and should we have it or should we not, and to what level of control, because I'm gathering that the discrepancy here is what level of control we should have.
I would always want to err on the side of confidentiality and our individual freedoms.
Okay. Under our current system, I'm just trying to sit here thinking, you're talking about how many people would have access to it, how many people would have the I mean, currently, as I sit here, I'm thinking, how many people have access to this data about me right now? I'm thinking probably the HR department would know because of the insurance plan that covers our prescription drugs. There's probably people there that could figure it out. Your prescription benefit manager would know because they would know what they're filling for you. Your doctor would know, and people in the doctor's office, because they're the ones that prescribed it in the first place. Your immediate pharmacy that you go to would know. I mean, so if there's already a plethora of people that are in this mix, I'm curious as to how adding some level of letting some of those people interact that already know is a problem.
Right now, your in control of who knows your data.
I'm not in control of who knows my data.
You don't have to.
I don't know who's in the HR department.
You don't have to use your insurance to go buy the controlled substance. Let's just say that some physician prescribes for you a highly sensitive controlled substance that you feel uncomfortable allowing anybody but your doctor and the, you know, and have it written in your doctor's chart. No. So you decide, I don't want this information on the grid. You know, I don't want the fact that my daughter takes Adderall, which is, benzedrine, dextroamphetamine, to be on the database. I mean, that could hurt her. And so I instruct my daughter, when you go to the pharmacy, pay cash and don't use your insurance. Then it's off of the database. But under this plan, it would be such that 10,000 people or 20,000 people could log onto their computers, go to the database, use their password, and find out that information. That's the difference. And it's a huge infringement. And, you know, like I said from the very beginning, I'm willing to let the people of Missouri, if they want to give up that freedom, let them vote on it. I'm willing to do that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions of the presenters? Senator Schmidt.
So that previous bill that we heard earlier about the definition of gravely disabled, should that go to a vote of the people?
Okay. I don't know. I mean,
I guess I'm wondering. I mean, I just, it's the classic question of, what decisions should we make here as elected officials?
This bill affects every Missourian. Every Missourian is likely to receive a controlled substance during their life, everyone. And that bill doesn't affect every Missourian.
Affects the argument with regard to liberty, though, right?
Perhaps.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. We will try to limit testimony to 3 minutes, or if you can do a me too, because we're running a little short on time. So those testifying in favor, and you might say the Senate bill you're in favor of, put that on your witness form. Thank you.